broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Point of view.
Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
20 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is Point of View. My name is Pamela Mutina. Thank you so much for staying with us. Now, Minister of Higher Education, Dr. Bladen Zimande, on Sunday gave his reasons for dissolving the National Student Financial Aid Scheme Board and appointing an administrator. On the line with us is Ismail Mnisi, who is NSFAS spokesperson. Thanks very much, Mr. Mnisi, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you, Pamela, and to the KFM listeners.
Thank you.
My pleasure always to speak to you.
Thank you very much for making time for us. Now, we've heard the minister tell us the reasons why he decided to dissolve this board, and then obviously that there will be an administrator that will be taking things forward. How will this be affecting the disbursement of funds for the students currently, who are still saying that, especially for April, they haven't seen those funds, even though I know that you had given an order that the institutions do carry out those duties in the interim. Just give us an explanation as to this interim phase, how things are going to be managed.
Well, thank you very much, Pamela. Pamela, in answering your question, one needs to clarify the issues of governance following the decision by the minister to dissolve the board.
Sure.
Now, in dissolving the board, the minister appointed an administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an administrator has the full authority to be the board and also to be the chief manager, mm-hmm, or a CEO in a way, mm-hmm, of the organization. Now, there is a combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the benefit of that is that when you mix governance and management responsibilities to an individual, you have efficiency in the time that will be spent to make a decision. Because ordinarily, when you have a board, management will have to process its decisions through the board. And those decisions must come back for implementation by management. Now, you'd imagine in an organization such as NSFAS, the implication of that if the two structures don't operate seamlessly, in dealing with the issue. So this decision, much as it looks at it looks like a serious concern or a bad decision as a result of the inefficiencies of the previous board, however, it brings as well the positive spins off that NFS will be able to be efficient, particularly in dealing with issues of disbursements or allowance payments to students. Now, we welcome that decision by the minister in terms of appointing an administrator who, by the way, Pamela, has started to hit the ground running today by meeting the staff and management of the organization.
Mm-hmm. So does that then mean that, I know that previously, as I was saying earlier, previously the minister had asked the institutions to manage those disbursements of funds, that facility and that provision now is taken back to the administrator? Is that how I'm understanding it?
Yes, correct. Correctly so, Pamela. That responsibility is now with the administrator and the executive of NSFAS. Remember, when the board is dissolved,
mm-hmm,
the management or the executive, mm-hmm, still remains, including the employees of NSFAS, who on a day-to-day basis are managing the scheme.
Okay. One of the things that has always been an issue is the registration data. You and I have spoken about this many, many times. Of course, the issue of the fintechs has come to the fore and the minister is now dealing with that. The registration data, in your view, Ismail, where were the glitches there? Because from our previous conversation, it seems like it was the responsibility of the applicant, in other words, the students themselves, who were not furnishing the fintechs with complete information. Or have you found different information that, and I know the administrator is going to now seek clarity on what exactly went wrong. But for now, do you have understanding as to what was going on, what was making this administration data difficult to capture?
Yeah. Look, NSFAS does not operate in isolation. It works with our institutions, both the TVET colleges and universities. Now, Registration data that we are talking about is information that our institutions must provide NSFAS so that NSFAS can pay allowances to all NSFAS beneficiaries who are registered in institutions. Now, in the processes that we have, is that an applicant, a student applies to NSFAS for funding for a particular year. We give them, provisionally, meaning the status that we give them, we send them letters to say you have been provisionally funded by NSFAS, provided that an institution of higher learning, a university or a TVET colleges, give us the registration confirmation that you are a student in that particular institution. Now, that is the registration data we are talking about. In our statement we have that we have released almost a week ago, we did indicate that, I think it was on the 9th of April, we did indicate that there are, you know, universities and TVET colleges that provided us with the registration data, and there are those that did not comply. And we did even indicate that for TVET colleges, for us to be able to pay allowances every month, their due date is the 15th of every month for them to give us the data for us to be able to pay allowances the following month. For universities, is the 19th of every month. Now, we had institutions that have complied to that requirement, and there are those that did not comply. And we named those institutions that did not comply. And why we had to go that direction? Because as many people believe that it is NSFAS's fault. So we wanted to say, primarily, NSFAS processes information that it receives from our institutions. Now, if that information is not forthcoming, NSFAS will not be able to pay allowances. Now, in our previous conversation that we had, where we said students, there we were referring particularly to the issues of student accommodation, where we said the students who are given accommodation, well, NSFAS funded, and have private accommodation, will then be required to register on the NSFAS portal so that NSFAS must know that Ishmael stays in accommodation X and he is a student at a particular institution or institution X. Now, that information we needed for us to be able to pay landlords who would say that I'm accommodating your student as NSFAS, however, I'm not paid for it. So there's two processes, they interlink, because whichever way, NSFAS needs that information, which is not generated within NSFAS, it's generated elsewhere. However, that information affects the work that NSFAS is doing. In the face of the students, in the face of the public, when disbursements are not made, the public believes that it is NSFAS that is not paying students. No, in most instances, it is not. When NSFAS has information, we will take accountability that indeed we received all the registration data from institutions. We have our own challenges. And I'm not saying, suggesting that there has not been instances where NSFAS was found wanting, that it did not, it always paid allowances on time. We also had our own challenges, but in certain instances, those challenges are also compounded by other problems which are not within the confines of the scheme.
Well, but I mean, clearly those issues were grave. This is the reason why we have ourselves, a situation where the board is dissolved. Otherwise, we wouldn't have that case.
Of course, it is incumbent on the minister to say to dissolve the board if he thinks that there are no systems that the board has approved to make sure that institutions submit that data. You know, because the NSFAS as an institution must be able to predict or put contingency measures that should it happen that we don't receive registration data from institutions, what do we do to mitigate on that? Now, we expect an organization to do so. And in that instance, that's why the minister, even if he knows that, NSFAS would have to do its work based on information that it receives elsewhere. However, NSFAS, the professionals there at NSFAS must be able to develop those systems that will make sure that should it happen that institutions do not give us that data, what are the mitigating factors? And as we are speaking now, we have made an upfront payment from the beginning of the year. You know that in February and March, we made an upfront payment to institutions, and we said to them, please pay all the students, because currently we do not have the registration data. It's in with yourselves, but make sure that you give us that registration data come end of February, so that we prepare, come end of March, so that we prepare for the April disbursements going forward. However, 12 institutions, universities did not submit. Actually, 12 submitted late, 2 did not submit completely, and with TVET colleges, we had about 2 who did not submit at the time or at the cutoff date, but later submitted. And that is why they were not included in the payment run for April, and that's why we had students who were unhappy about them not receiving their allowances.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. Ismail Mnisi is an NSFAS spokesperson. And obviously, we'll keep an eye on the story, because the minister has said, well, the administrator has got, there will be a checking in every 3 months so that he knows whether things are going right or not. There's a lot on the list, so I'm not going to go through this now. We'll obviously keep you posted as and when the story develops.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.